All right. Hello, everyone. A brand up the Suns Hour podcast. Shane alongside Derek. We are part of the Hockey Podcast Network and sponsored by Customized Sports, your number one stop for all your customized needs. And today's been an interesting day. There's been a lot going on behind the scenes. We'll talk a little bit about it, but we're going to talk first about the Pierre-Luc Dubois rumors that have continued to swirl over the last week or so since it's been made public that he wants out of Columbus.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, there's not really much of an end in sight. And if you're an Ottawa Senators fan, you're definitely salivating when you look at the potential of a Pierre-Luc Dubois, Evgeny Dadonov, and Brady Tkachuk line, at least for this season in Ottawa. So, you know, there's no question as to why Sens fans would be interested when someone of that ilk hits the market and at 22 years old, you know, would definitely fit with the core of the team. And seems like a gem of a fit, at least on the Ottawa side. But it's the flip side that we're now learning is probably going to make this deal either impossible or not a very good deal from an Ottawa perspective.
Yeah, and I mean, overall, I think the deal itself or the player itself is fine, but it sounds like Columbus is going to hold still. It seems like Yarmo has no issue allowing him to just walk at the end of his deal or move him next season. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens over the next, you know, 4 months, because it could also be something where he has a really good year. His trade value goes up. You know, you go into the draft, if you're a guy in the top five, you're looking at a number one center, you may not feel, you know, Beniers is off the board and you're kind of looking at who else is available. Oh, well, Pierre-Luc Dubois there. So I think he's going to be traded at the deadline or at the draft, I mean.
Yeah, and that's kind of what's being rumored too, that they might hold off until then. But recently, Ian Mendez, who has now joined The Athletic, which to me is probably has been arguably the most exciting news of 2021 thus far. I think we're all stoked and we should be excited in the Ottawa market that Ian Mendez has taken Haley's place. They're both kind of friends of our show. They were on our show earlier, both of them. So we're super excited that Ian's joined The Athletic now and he's writing for them. But he put an article together earlier today about Pierre-Luc Dubois and kind of what it would take from a Columbus perspective to acquire Pierre-Luc Dubois from Ottawa. He's suggesting that Columbus would only be looking at kind of a hockey trade. So basically, for Ottawa fans, you'd have to prepare giving up one of Brady Tkachuk or Tim Stützle in a trade to Columbus, which to me makes the deal not even worth it. I don't know how you feel about that, Shane.
Not even worth it. And I mean, I understand. I haven't read the article. I'm going to go. I didn't realize that I've been so preoccupied with other things today. You know, I didn't even realize that. So I'm going to have to read the article on that. But I mean, it's not surprising, right? Columbus doesn't want to rebuild. If they wanted to rebuild, they wouldn't have traded for Duchene and Dzingel, and then they would have offloaded Panarin and Bobrovsky at the trade deadline instead of doing what they did. I understand the idea, you know, a star player for a star player, which is why I think you're probably going to see Winnipeg and Columbus in talks for a little bit, trying to have a Line A Dubois swap. I think that's probably the most realistic trade. It's just unfortunate because the Senators have been dying for a number one center spot. Dubois, he's reportedly, you know, really good friends with Chabot. Seems to have a good chemistry with guys that are already in Ottawa. And you want that kind of – he's 22 years old. You want those guys in Ottawa. And the fact that, like, you could do it, you know, is good, but you have to look at the asking price. And if it's either Tkachuk or Stützle, I'm sorry, I'm out.
Yeah, the conversation is over. If you're asking for, it's definitely Stützle right now. And I mean, Shabbat's right there in the same category, or sorry, Tkachuk is right there in the same category. Columbus has no need for a defenseman. So Shabbat's kind of out of the question, Brännström out of the question. And of course they're looking for that kind of one for one hockey trade. So that kind of rules out what our proposal would have been in Norris, Brännström, and a first, which to me at the time seemed like, you know, how is any other team going to meet an offer better than that? But really, it's about Columbus's need right now. And as you alluded to earlier, they're not going to enter a rebuild. They feel they were very competitive last year in the playoffs. They want to stay competitive. So their biggest need really is an offensive-minded forward. That's why the line A thing makes sense. And potentially Matt Barzal. I mean, you could swap center for center with the Islanders, who have yet to sign Barzal.
Yeah, but I mean, from all sounds, is that we should be expecting some kind of deal to be reached between those two parties with the Islanders and Barzal. It's just a matter of time. If I'm the Islanders, I personally think Dubois is a downgrade on Barzal offensively. You know, yeah. Defensively, I think Dubois is the better of the two centers. But if you're looking offensively, you know, he's kind of the catalyst of the Islanders' offense. I think Dubois fits Trotz's system right now. But how long do you expect Trotz to continue to keep on coaching? I don't see him coaching well into, you know, Dubois' prime. And you want to be able to sell an offensive-minded guy like Barzal over a defensive-minded guy like Dubois. And unfortunately, that's just how it is. I think the line A, I think the realistic trade is line A for Dubois.
Because there's the Finnish connection as well, right, with Jarmo being the GM there. So there is a lot of connections there. It's actually a little surprising that it hasn't took place. Or there isn't more talks of it. I've seen, you know, LeBrun on Insider Trading was alluding to the fact that perhaps Anaheim was kicking tires the most right now, but he listed up to five teams. I know Montreal was in there. Ottawa was not part of that mix that he listed. Although he said the list of teams that haven't called for Dubois is a lot smaller than the teams that have.
Yeah, I wonder if Pierre was more talking about teams that talked offers, not just called and been like, hey, you know, what's the availability? I wonder if the teams that he was talking about were teams that kind of put out like a soft building block of, hey, this is what we're willing to give up versus like, oh, what's his availability and what would it take kind of thing that maybe I would be very surprised if Pierre Dorion didn't call and kind of push, like kick the tires a little bit.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we talked about last week on the show, my thought is Pierre Dorion probably wouldn't offer any more than what we talked about. I mean, I thought we went a little bit steep. If you look at comparable kind of players that have been traded, it doesn't often bring back a return of what you hope when you're the team trading the player. We know that all too well in Ottawa. But at the same time, Pierre-Luc Dubois is 22 years old, and he's a proven number one center who's very responsible defensively, drives play offensively. You know, there's just a lot to like about the players. So it's very rare when a player like Dubois, a number one center, hits the market.
Yeah, that's agreed. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be something that we're going to talk about continuously. Over the next, you know, honestly, it's going to be a Duchesne situation all over again, where it's going to be talked about continuously until the deal actually happens. And Ottawa, unfortunately, because of the situation, the prospects that we have, the cap room, will always be in the discussions of, you know, big name being available. Let's go in and get them. I know people were talking about the same thing with Line A. You know, what would it take to get Line A out of Winnipeg, and would you even want Line A in Ottawa kind of thing? And it's like things like that are always going to be linked to Ottawa. Considering Pierre Dorion also has a history of making these big trades that he feels will help the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you think let's say, for example, Winnipeg and Columbus do make a trade, do you think Winnipeg has to add to that? Like, do you think Line A is enough to get the number one center in Pierre-Luc Dubois, or do you think Line's kind of reputation hurts his trade value a little bit, and Winnipeg maybe is in a spot where they'd have to add to it to make a trade work?
I feel like we're going to see more of a third team come in than we will in terms of Columbus or Columbus getting more of a return from Winnipeg.
Exactly like the Duchesne trade then.
To a certain extent.
Three teams to make that thing happen.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, I'm not really sure about the contract situation in terms of cap space for the Jets. I know they've been kind of up against the wall a little bit, but I wouldn't be surprised that they're going to try getting a top four defenseman as well. And we could see Winnipeg maybe spinning a deal with a third team where, okay, you know, we'll trade Laine to Columbus. Dubois will go to teams A or team C, and then team C will send a top four defenseman to Winnipeg.
Right. You think that's their biggest need? Because they do kind of need a center too. They reacquired Stastny, but they don't really have a true number one center either.
I mean, it depends on how you view Scheifele, right? Like, do you view Scheifele as your
Yeah, no, center? I don't know why I ignored Scheifele. Yeah, no. Scheifele's definitely a number one center. I'm not sure why I viewed Scheifele as a winger for a second, but yeah, gapped there.
It's fine. I mean, again, Scheifele is one of those guys that you kind of just forget about because he's not great at anything, but he's very good at a lot of things.
Yes, he is.
You know, they need a number two center behind Scheifele, realistically. Mm. But is trading Laine for a number two center, a potential, you know, first line replacement, whatever happens to Scheifele, more of a need than it is to get a true top four defenseman? And that's kind of where I think Winnipeg might be interested in working with Columbus in a deal for Dubois that sends Laine to Columbus. But I could also see them being like, hey, either we'll work together or they're going to plan a separate deal with another team that involves Dubois being shipped to team C after he's shipped to Winnipeg.
All right. So here, now that you said it, Brännström and Norris go to Winnipeg. Dubois comes to Ottawa and Laine goes to Columbus.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't think it's going to be Brännström and Norris. I think we're most likely going to see Brännström and Tierney going to Winnipeg.
Right. You won't get both pieces.
No, because I don't think that's a trade Winnipeg wants to make. Because if they're going to want to grab a center, they're going to want to prove like a proven guy who can slot into their lineup in their top six right away. Norris, you really still don't know what you're going to get from him. You know what you're going to get out of Tierney. I think they're going to take the bait on, you know, we'll take Tierney, we'll take Brännström, just toss us like a second round pick or something. Like, I think that's kind of what's going to come into a factor. But I also wouldn't be surprised. Like, I would be very surprised if Winnipeg is part of this, that they take Dubois straight ahead, one for one or whatever the case may be. Because I don't see Dubois filling their most important need, which is a top four defenseman.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know why I ignored Mark Scheifele the way I did. So apologies there. But yeah, they don't need a number one center. They probably just need a number two center for the future, which is a need that's much easier to fill. And it's tough to find top four defensemen. So
yeah, I mean, it's going to be real interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of kick on. I wouldn't be surprised if Dubois ends up in Colorado either.
In Colorado?
Yeah.
Oh man, they're already stacked. They don't need him.
But they also have an abundance of defensemen that they can trade. They got Devin Taves, top four defenseman. You already have Girardi, top four. You know, you have Timmins in the lineup or in the weights. You have Byram in the weights. They just traded Sidorov.
Yeah.
You know, is Kadri really a number two center, or do you feel more comfortable with him as a number three?
So I think he's pretty good as a number two, don't you?
Oh, I do, but I'm saying that would you rather Kadri or Dubois?
Yeah. I mean, obviously Dubois with the age factor and, you know, the ceiling factor. He probably has more potential to achieve more points in the NHL.
Yeah. So, you know, if there's a way that, hey, maybe you send Girardi or Timmins to Winnipeg, including Kadri and
Samuel Girard, like the little he's good.
Yeah, Samuel Girard. Yeah. I don't like you call him Girardi, but Girard.
Well, there is a Girardi too, but that's a different guy.
or Timmons with like Joyce?
Yeah, Tyson Jost. Yeah.
And Kadri to Winnipeg and see Dubois going from Carolina, and you can make it work. And you know, Colorado has the cap space. MacKinnon has already come out and said that, hey, I'm willing to take less money if it means that we're going to be competitive. You can probably get Makar on that same kind of train of thought. You probably get Byram on that train of thought. I would not be surprised if Sakic makes this move to acquire a guy like Dubois if he can pull it off without getting rid of huge pieces.
I really hope not, because eventually we're going to have to beat that team. And I don't know who's beating Colorado this year. Like, actually, for the next, they're just set up for the future. Like, for the next few years, they're going to be a dominant team in my eyes. I don't know. I don't know the same way, but that team is stacked.
But here's the thing. Sakic is building the team that he won cups with.
Yeah.
Team. Like, I'm surprised that he hasn't gone out to get, you know, a true number. Like, here's another thing. You know, Korpisalo or Merzlikins is available in a trade. Because, you know, they feel like, hey, we're going to lose one of them.
Yep.
May as well try trading it. Like, Colorado should also be in consideration for a trade like that, because
yes, they should.
I like Grubauer. I like Francois. I just don't think they can take him to that next level. You know, both Merzlikins and Korpisalo had really great playoffs. Wouldn't be surprised to see one of those two in a Colorado uniform at some point within this calendar year.
You know, back before Ottawa acquired Matt Murray, I was convinced that Ottawa was just kicking tires on Matt Murray, and a team that actually really needed Matt Murray would step forward and pay a bit more to acquire him. Colorado was the team that I thought for sure was going to acquire Matt Murray.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I think Colorado has their eyes on a guy like Korpisalo, taking advantage of a team before the expansion draft that, you know, he's an RFA. Or Merzlikins, I think, is an RFA. So you have all these issues and whatnot. I would not be surprised to see Sakic kind of take advantage of this to help Colorado move the needle towards a cup within the next 3 years.
I think Korpisalo, he was outstanding in the playoffs. He was really the reason that Columbus did what they did. But aside from that, his numbers are relatively bottom of the league. Like, he basically had one outstanding playoff. So I guess my question on Korpisalo is, what is he? Is he the guy that we just saw dominate the playoffs? Or is he the guy that, you know, all the numbers before that suggest he's more of a backup goalie in the NHL?
I think you're going to see, like, in fairness to Korpisalo, he definitely did not get the luck of the draw. You know, Columbus was like, I think they were the top team with man games lost. They were one of the worst scoring teams in the league because of it. You know, you lose Anderson and Atkinson for most of the year. You have guys like Texier in and out of the lineup, Foligno in and out of the lineup. You don't have any kind of consistency with the forward group. Your best two players are for most of the season are Jones and Rouenski.
Yeah.
Like, I think what we saw to Korpisalo, like, Merzlikins had a great intro to the league. But I think his numbers are a little bit inflated. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna see more of the playoff Korpisalo that has a healthy Columbus team in front of him over the Korpisalo that we saw last year when an unhealthy Columbus team was in front of him.
Korpisalo was arguably the best player in the entire playoff last year. Like, he was just outstanding. He flat out stole games for Columbus.
Him and Khudobin in Dallas were probably.
And he was fun to watch too, Khudobin. Yeah. He was a fun guy in the dressing room. He's a guy that doesn't look like he takes hockey very seriously. Like, you know, his body doesn't exactly look like a professional hockey player. He's more of a take it easy, repping the dad bod kind of guy. So,
but he's a goalie, so it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows with goalies? I mean, honestly, you just never know what you have in a goalie. and Hudobin stood on his head. They tried to put Bishop back, I think, partway through the playoffs too, or at least when they got in to the finals, and it just didn't work out for them. So they went right back to Hudobin.
He just wasn't healthy, and it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. But moving on, you know, the Dubois thing we're going to talk about constantly for the next year or for the next several months, so get used to that. Mm-hmm. But we got some big news to announce. As you all have checked out our Twitter, we were just nominated for the best podcast, sports podcast, by Faces Magazine. If you don't know who Faces Magazine are, they're an Ottawa-located magazine company. Great content, focus on very community. They're very community focused. Fantastic magazine. It's an honor and a privilege. Really, like, I feel honored. And when I saw it, I didn't believe it at first. I had to double check it for myself to make sure it was true. So, and it's nomination only. So whoever nominated us, we thank you for it.
Thank you.
We appreciate the support that everyone's given us. The links and whatnot to go vote for us are on our Twitter page. So definitely head on over there, vote. There's some really good guys in there, honestly. You know, Locked On Sens is there. I think the Steve Warren Project's on there. There's some really good guys and good quality podcasts that are part of this group. So definitely go in, vote for who you want to vote for. But yeah, we just wanted to recognize that, you know, whoever nominated us, thank you. Thank you guys for your support. And hopefully we'll continue this into 2021 and we'll be nominated again for 2022. And it kind of leads off into the second part of this. We're proud to announce, after some back work things, this is kind of what I've been leaning at towards. I know I said we have some big news dropping soon, and people are like, oh, what? Like, I had people message me being like, oh, you know, Timmy, and like,
oh, geez.
Do you have some big, like, insider information? No, nothing like that. But I just wanted to announce that we have four affiliates right now. We're working on a couple of other ones, but we have joined with the NHL Shop, Hockey Canada Shop, Lids, and Fanatics. We should hopefully have a couple more things on the way, but we'll have all these links posted on our YouTube and Twitter. So definitely follow, like, if you're going to shop, follow the links, support us while you're buying your favorite gear. Like, it's a win-win for everybody.
And for us too. So thanks.
Yeah, and there will be promo codes and whatnot that will be coming out in the next month or so when we figure that all out. So stay tuned on our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or on YouTube, because we will be pushing these. And hey, reverse jerseys are out. Head on over to the NHL Shop, grab one, and follow the link. Support us while you're supporting your favorite teams. But yeah, it's been a really good week. Today has been a really good day. It's been a really good week for the Senators, for the podcast.
No one's breaking into the Capitol building. I mean, yeah. It's a great day.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it's been a wild ride. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we will have more Sens news, as we will be talking training camp. I know everyone's pissed about the training camp, so we'll have something there for you. We'll have who's gonna play center, who, and D pairings. And over under, obviously, because that's what we do. So we'll be right back here to this. Thank you all for hanging in. Remember, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Sens Hour. Like, share, comment on the videos. You know the drill. You hear it from everyone. But yeah, stay tuned.
So you like hockey? Congratulations. You're amongst the smartest sports fans in the world. Want to fight about it? Join me, the Hockey Troll, and that snack, Polly Cupcakes, every Monday and Thursday on the official Caps Chirp podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL, your Washington Capitals.
Not only do we bring you the best Washington Capitals coverage, but we've got the hottest takes and the tastiest content.
Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Chirp us on all social media platforms at Caps Chirp.
See you beauties and vendors there.
And we are back. And as always, we are sponsored by Customized Sports. We have our jersey giveaway. They're the one-stop shop for all your customized needs. Head on over to their website at customizedsports.com to get and use promo code SENSHOUR to get 10% off your order. remember, Instagram, Twitter for the contest have a bunch of stuff, not just NHL stuff. They have AHL, MLB, NFL, you name it, they'll get it for you. But let's jump into it. There was a hockey tonight at the CTC. We didn't get to see it because clearly they don't know how to stream what's going on at the rink while the Leafs get their scrimmage posted on TSN and Sportsnet. This is a huge loss for the Senators. I don't know what they're doing. If you need a recap, Formanton got the game-winning goal, 4-3. Other school scorers were Shabbat and Coburn, as well as Watson and Schlappick. And it apparently was a great scrimmage from what they were posting, but no videos.
There's no evidence that it even happened. Who knows? Maybe they're just making the whole thing up.
Yeah, Connor Brown scored. Team Red wins it. It baffles me how you can be an NHL team and not know. Like, I understand the media not being there, which makes it even more head scratching as to why they don't have a stream going on. Like, you would think that they would want a stream going on, right? Like, I'm not crazy in thinking that.
It's been 300 days since we've seen the Ottawa Senators play hockey. 300 days, and there's no live stream of the scrimmage.
I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure Ottawa is one of the only teams that is actually practicing out of their actual home arena. They're not at the SenseFlex or anything, unlike some of these teams that are practicing out of a different arena. If I remember correctly, and if I'm there's not a very good location. Like, I think there's one area that you might be able to stream the game properly.
Oh, come on. They could stream the game. Don't give them any excuses. This is horrible.
I'm trying to think, like, as much as I disagree, like, put a camera up there, get it going. It's not hard, but I'm just trying to think of, like, where the ideal spot would be to, because you're not going to shoot, you won't be able to stream it from the third level, right? You'd have to find a place where one of the cameras sits.
I don't give two shits if Bruce Garriock is there filming the damn thing on his iPhone. I just want to see that stream.
Hey, I agree. I mean, hey, if they need someone to do it, I will gladly take my laptop. I will gladly take my stuff. I will go down there. I will set the stream up for them for free. I do not care. Just give me a jersey. I don't care if it's Fanatics. I do not care. I will set the stream up. I will sit there with my mask on watching this stream and making sure that, you know, not just watching the stream, interacting with people. Like, I can do it through StreamYard without any problems. No issues. Guaranteed. I can get it set up within an hour max.
And we can go there and set up our show, and we could give you the audio while we're streaming it. There you go.
Yeah, we can do play-by-play. We can do
play-by-play. There you go.
Like, God damn. Hey, Senator, if you're listening to this, holler at us. We'll help you out. We're here to help. We're not here to hate. We're here to help.
That's right.
But, I mean, hey, at least it's a good sign. We're a week away. At the time of this recording, we are a week away from Senators hockey that will be on TSN 5 against the Maple Leafs.
Actual TV.
Yeah.
Real TV.
They announced. Someone asked on Twitter, why does Sportsnet give TSN games?
Oh, it's a regional. Yeah.
That's the thing. Sportsnet doesn't give TSN games. They own the rights to these games. Any non-primetime game, basically Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, will always be on TSN for the most part, which is why our home opener is on TSN. And then our second game, the Saturday, is on Sportsnet.
Yeah. So regional broadcasts have, of course, they have blackouts. So for someone like me that lives outside of the Ottawa region, that's why I have to pay $200 and whatever dollars it is now with Bell for NHL Center Ice just to be able to watch the hockey game.
See, I have NHL Live and I'm paying like $30 a month because I only need it for like 4 months. So it's $30 a month. I'm good. And I get to watch all the games that I need because, you know, like, cool. And the beauty is I can watch the Ottawa games on Rewind on the app. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but you're also in regional broadcast range, right? So technically it wouldn't be blacked out for you. So I have to pay a premium because the game that I want to watch is blacked out. Otherwise I get Toronto Maple Leaf games.
Yeah, I hate blackouts so much. And the reason why I got NHL Live, Calgary fan as well as the Sens fan, girlfriend is also a Blackhawks fan, and we're not really sure how the games will be broadcast up from the American games. So we figured, hey, best thing to do is just get it. We also just like watching hockey to begin with. So like, who cares who's playing? We'll sit down, watch it, whatever.
So is your little girl, is she going to be a Blackhawks fan or a Sens fan?
Sens fan.
Yeah. Okay. Just has making
a,
sure.
Freddie has a Sens jersey, so it's fine.
Just making sure.
We're going to have some pizza. We're going to order in Pizza Hut. We'll do pizza for the game day. We'll sit down, watch the game, whatever. But with that being said, like we're a week away. We are literally a week away from Senators hockey and can't be more excited for it.
And my fingers are crossed because I don't know if you've seen the Dallas Stars news that came out.
Yeah.
Eight total people tested positive, 6 players, 2 staff tested positive for COVID-19. So we have to remember that we're in a pandemic. We are living in a day and age where you cannot predict what's going to happen tomorrow. So we hope, we are crossing our fingers and our toes and even our eyes. I don't know if I can do that on here, but I can give it a shot. But we're crossing everything that you could possibly cross to hope that Ottawa Senators hockey will return on January 15th against the Leafs.
Yeah, and I mean, the amount of disrespect that people are giving towards the Senators this year, way too much. I mean, I understand why people have them last, but some of the reasons that people are giving me are ridiculous.
I want to hear one. Give me a good one.
One of them was just straight out, Montreal, they'll lose single-handedly to Montreal and Toronto. Like the reason why they'll be last in the league is because they'll lose every single game to Toronto and Montreal. And I'm just like, bro, what? Like, Montreal maybe because Price seems to have Ottawa's number in the regular season. Like, I'll give them that. But we have, like, last year we almost beat them twice. We almost beat them in the home opener. You know, we won the season series the year before. And we're arguably better than we were those 2 years. We beat them like 6-2 in Ottawa and people were losing their minds.
I think in 18-19, did we not go undefeated against the Leafs as well?
Yeah, we won this. Yeah, we swept them.
Yeah, I thought so.
And one of them was like a 6-2 blowout where...
At the end of the season, after Ottawa had traded everybody, it was a 6-2 blowout against the Leafs.
Yeah, like it was just ridiculous. And it's like...
Except I think they played Sparks. I remember that game.
Who cares? We still beat them.
Yeah, yeah.
Matthew, I think the funny thing is, though, with that is everyone tweets that, like, Matthew's 4 goals. But for some reason, they always seem to leave out.
Tourist won that game, so.
He scored 4 goals, but they lost. And yes, I'm like, did. He scored 4 goals, but he lost. And people are like, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm like, it does matter. Because if he scored 4 goals and they won,
That's different.
They would talk about it. It's like Zibanejad. He scored 5 goals against.
That was insane. That was just an insane goal. I remember that last goal. I think it was Panarin that sent him like an insane pass through the neutral zone. It was one of those like off speed passes that was just perfect. And then he made a fantastic move to his backhand. It was like just topped off the night. Wasn't that his first game back or something like that after injury? Right.
Yeah,
that was a wild game.
If they lost that game, let's say he scored all 5 goals for the Rangers. They lost that game.
Who cares?
People would talk about it, but they'd be like, well, he lost the game, so who cares?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, man.
The thing with Matthews is, yes, he scored 4 goals, and they still lost. So, sucks to suck.
Yeah, basically. And honestly, I would love to see Leafs Twitter lose their absolute minds if they come into Ottawa, lose both games against Ottawa.
If they lose one of the 2 games against Ottawa, that's going to happen. Like, they're expecting to go 2-0 against the Senators.
They start the season against Montreal. I hope Montreal wins. They come into Ottawa. They lose the first. They start. Oh, Toronto starts the season.
It'd be over.
Twitter is going to lose their absolute mind.
They're already trading Mitch Marner. They're going to trade him even more on Twitter, and Nylander and the whole crew, they're all gone.
Yo, especially if they get shut out in one of those games.
Like, I don't know. I can see Ottawa at least splitting that first 2-game series. Ottawa's going to come out hot. They want to be taken seriously this year. Ottawa is definitely going to come out strong, and they have a much stronger team. So I'm really looking forward to a bloodbath against our rivals this season.
Oh man, it's going to be so funny, and we're going to be here for it. We're going to have to get the guys from Not Another Leafs Pod on next week.
That would be a bloodbath. Let's do that. That's a fantastic setup. Let's do that.
I think that's our move. I'll talk to them and see if we can get them on for next week. But with that being said, we still have other things to talk about. Rotating Cs. We have so many, and not captains, centers. Clarify that for people. Rotating centers. We have so many of them. You know, from what I've heard, from what's been posted on TSN 1200, Colin White seems to be kind of taking the reins and showing that he belongs. They've had Brown as the number one center. What's your idea of, like, who do you think is going to start the season at number one?
Probably Colin White, perhaps Derek Stepan. But most likely it's between one of those two guys. I posted something last week, I think, just a graphic with my opening night lineup. And I had Logan Brown as number one center. I know they gave him a look. They also gave Josh Norris a look. But my thought going into it is they'll probably start with a veteran-heavy lineup and kind of go from there. So I think they'll go with some combination of either Colin White with Tkachuk and Dadonov or Derek Stepan with Tkachuk and Dadonov. How do you feel about that?
I think Stepan is locked with Stutzla. I think we're not going to see Stepan, at least to start, on any other line that does not include Stepan.
Is Anisimov still a dark horse for the number one center? Do they have a better goalie situation? We should maybe address this one right here, because that's your cousin.
That's my dad.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Does Ottawa have a better goalie situation than Toronto? What do you think?
Ottawa has a better goaltending situation than Ottawa, 100%.
That could make a difference. But I think we need to see what Matt Murray is this year. Like, I'm still kind of hesitant, but we also have a pretty damn solid backup in Hogberg.
I will take Hogberg over Campbell, 100%.
Yes.
As long as I'm being a homer. I will take Ordell or Hutchinson, because that's who else they have. Like, I will take Hogberg and Decord over any of the three goaltenders that Toronto has outside of Anderson.
Yeah, easily. It's Anderson he's hot and cold. You don't really know what you're going to get in Anderson. His numbers throughout the regular season are always very good. But he also faces a lot of perimeter shots. So it kind of inflates that save percentage a little bit. The Leafs do a pretty decent job of preventing high danger shots. So it looks like it's really good. So I just kind of wonder, because then they get into the playoffs and Freddie Anderson always shits the bed. So
I don't think it's fair to crap on Freddie Anderson purely for the fact that the defense also shits the bed.
The whole team does. Fair enough. But when they need him the most, when they actually need him to be the Freddie Anderson that he is in the regular season, he's not. He'll let a weak goal in here and there, or just don't make the next save, you know?
So here's a question.
Yep.
Is Frederick Anderson to Toronto now what Lalime was to Ottawa in the early 2000s?
Oh, man. I don't know, because those goals were just so ugly that went in. I don't think they're that weak. Like, the goals are not glaringly bad. Like, Lalime just, yeah, I don't know what happened. It was a meltdown. But, it was consistently bad in the playoffs. I know what you mean.
Like, it was guaranteed he's going to let one bad goal in. And I think that's kind of what we're going to see with Frederick Anderson while he's with Toronto. It's just one bad goal a season or a playoff game.
It's a pretty fair comp, I think.
Yeah, I think, honestly, though, Ottawa is going to come in. And I've said it before, and I've been defending it on Twitter. Ottawa will not be last in the division. They have the least amount to play for.
Yeah, there's no expectations this year. It's definitely a lot easier to play under zero pressure. And they're also rolling in a lot more talent this year than what we've seen in years previous. You know, in the last 3 years, they finished at the bottom of the league. Probably won't happen this year, at least not at the very bottom. We've already went through our projections, but, you know, I would be extremely excited and not super surprised if Ottawa didn't finish seventh in the division.
See, I still think I've tempered my expectations. Obviously, I'm not going to be upset if they finish last because the cards are stacked against them, let's be honest. But yeah. I still think that, you know, if one of these teams goes on a rut before they play Ottawa and Ottawa can kind of stay with everyone, all it's going to need is, you know, 4 or 5 wins in a row against teams that are kind of muddying the field a little bit for them to kind of get that edge. And I mean, when we were on with the hockey podcast, a couple of the guys made a good point. What if, you know, Matthews and Marner get COVID and, you know, the NHL is like, okay, well, it's only 2 guys. So we're not going to postpone any of your games. You know, so you're going to have to play. You're out your 2 best players, and they have to quarantine for 2 weeks. Like, and they go, they have 7 games. They go 1-6 during that time. And then over the same span, Ottawa goes 5-2. So now we're looking at, depending on how big that gap was, we're looking at either Ottawa closing the gap or maybe even close the gap completely.
Well, and that's what we talked about before. Anything can happen in a 56-game season. It's going to be, it's going to be a scenario where every game actually matters. So we're going to see a lot more, maybe not playoff hockey, but what we're going to see is a lot more fast-paced, nasty hockey than we probably see over the course of an 82-game season.
Oh yeah, 100% agree. And it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. I'm excited for this season to get started on the 13th.
Yeah, for sure. And of course the 15th for the Senators, because we have to wait 2 extra days.
Yeah, I mean, at least we're not in Dallas, so we don't have to wait till the 19th because players got COVID.
Yeah, that's just a horrible circumstance. And I know Columbus withheld from practice too, from what I heard. But it sounds like they're just doing a precautionary thing right now, at least. So my thought is maybe they came across someone who tested positive, but none of the players have actually tested positive.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, I'm all for precautionary reasons, but we still have a couple. We could talk about this forever, but we still have to talk about the D pairings. It seems like the D pairings are set. Probably going to be, you know, Shabon and Gabranson to start. It sounds like Landon and Josh Brown have been getting a lot of time together, which I'm excited to see. I think it's Zaitsev and Riley, Coburn and Zub, from what I've seen for the most part.
Yeah, so we could probably suggest that Coburn and Zub are going to be the extras, at least to start the season. Riley and Zaitsev being the third pairing. Landon and Josh Brown, which personally I'm the most excited to see as a pairing. I think, that could potentially be a decent second line pairing. We'll see how it plays out. And then, of course, Shabbat with Gudbranson, and we'll see how that one works out as well.
Hey, they scored. Josh Brown scored today. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe that's a good sign. But
Josh Brown that scored?
Yeah, Josh Brown and Connor Brown both scored.
Oh, there's too many Browns.
Yeah, we have 3 of them. So if you didn't check out the scrimmage, these were the D pairings for the scrimmage for Team Red. It was Shabbat, Gudbranson, Coburn, Zub, Alsing, Thomas, and Lajoie. Those were the 7 defensemen. And then the 6 defensemen for Team White, Riley, Zaitsev, Landon Brown, Asperot, Yaros. So, like,
man, talk about afterthoughts. Max Lajoie, someone who kind of almost broke out in the NHL a couple of years ago, and now a complete afterthought at even making the lineup. Like, we haven't mentioned his name in the months that we've been talking on here.
Hey, he gets hurt and he just hasn't been able to find that groove again. It's interesting to look at the forwards, though, for Team Red. You got Kachuk, White, and Dadonov is your top line. Galchenyuk, Paquette, Batherson, Formanton, Pekka, Shaw.
And yeah. Not the strongest team.
Hey, they won.
Formanton got the ball. I don't know if that's a good or bad sign.
Coburn won. Coburn scored. Shabbat scored. Formanton scored. So, I mean, I can't complain. But it's kind of interesting to see who they had on Team White. You had Balsers, Anisimov, Watson, Schlappick, Norris, Connor Brown, Paul, Logan Brown, Parker Kelly, Haley, Baudin, Sokolov.
Yeah.
Like, there's some interesting line combinations here.
Absolutely. And I know Igor Sokolov's billet mom also reached out to me on Twitter, and she was equally disappointed along with Sens fans that there was no stream. So hopefully for the next scrimmage, they could figure something out and get that stream up so we don't have to kind of dissect this thing by looking at all these little numbers. But one guy that did score in this scrimmage, Austin Watson, not a guy known for his scoring, but a guy known more for throwing fists. As we get into over-under, what are you thinking in terms of fights for next season? Because it looks like last season he was actually second in the entire NHL with 7 fighting majors, and he only played 53 games last season. See, so it's a pretty good comparable.
See, looking at the teams that, you know, Montreal isn't, like, maybe Anderson, you know, you have Sherratt and Weber on the back end that are willing to fight.
And the Leafs added a lot of must on their team.
You have Wayne Simmons and Zach Bogosian as really your only two guys who I could see being willing to fight.
Maybe Brody, like TJ Brody, the odd time.
He'll fight if he has to, but he's definitely not like a fighter. He's one of those guys where if you're playing Chell and you how often does he fight? It's like none. Sometimes he sometimes fight. He's not often like
only if you're losing by 5 goals and you're really pissed off.
Yeah, or like he'll stand up for himself. Like if he makes a hit and someone challenges him, he'll stand up for himself in that situation. But, you know, if you're looking at West, that's kind of where things get a little bit, you know, Winnipeg can do it. I'm not really sure who's on their roster that can really fight. Calgary and Edmonton, though, is really where you're going to see the fights happen. You're going to see Kajin.
Lucic,
Kachuk, Nurse. You know, even McDavid will throw down. We've seen McDavid throw down a couple of times. So I feel like fighting is going to be very sporadic in the Canadian division. You know, if you look at the Central, and even in the East, they have more fighters. You know, you're going against a guy like Tom Wilson, Ryan Reeves, constantly. There's going to be more fights.
Do you think Ottawa will teams into a fight, though? Like, they have quite a few players who are not afraid to dust it up.
They're going to piss. Our over-under, I'm going to ruin it. Austin Watson fights. I would not be surprised if Brady Kachuk has more fights than Austin Watson.
Ooh, I hope not. Like, you don't want to see a Brady Kachuk broken hand or anything.
No, but I would expect it. I would guarantee we're going to – the two players who are going to have the most fights in any series, in any team versus team, freaking Gallagher versus Kachuk.
Yeah, most likely. And that's a mismatch too, because Gallagher is so small. He's a mighty small, but – he's not afraid to mix it up, absolutely. No,
I would not be surprised if those two players lead the respective teams in fights when they face each other. Like, I would expect at least one fighting major between Montreal and Ottawa every game.
Yeah, I think fighting is probably going to go through the roof this year because I think we're going to get more of a playoff atmosphere. So right now, like, I was just looking at stats on fighting, and it's at 0.19. Percent per game. So like fighting has gone down so far because back in 2010, the stat was that basically every other game there was a fight. So now you're looking at about 2 games out of 10 that there's a fight.
What do you even deem fighting anymore? Like there's so many, like, pardon my language here, but there's so much bitch play in the NHL now.
Yeah.
Like
it's not like it used to be. That's for sure.
Well, and I don't want to say like, oh, it's not like it used to be, making it sound like it was better, but you know, you hit a guy clean, you have to stick up for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you, but it's not like, oh, I'm gonna drop the gloves. It's, I'm gonna wrestle with you, and then I'm gonna yell at you because I wanted to fight you because you hit my teammate clean. But I want to, like, and I think that's my issue with the NHL is, like, you're not get, like, you haven't really gotten rid of fighting. I think the instigating rule is probably the stupidest thing they ever introduced outside of the over the glass and the trapezoid. I hate it.
The jersey tuck drives me nuts too.
Well, no, the jersey tuck makes sense, or like the Jager tuck, or like the jersey strap tuck.
Like the, no, the Jager, like, or the Gretzky kind of tucking the jersey. Yeah. Like, yeah, they initiated a rule a couple of years ago against that, and it discourages people from being kind of individuals. So that one drives me nuts too. There's a lot of stupid rules, but we've named a few of them.
I think the problem is like, for example, the over the glass and the jersey tuck, because there were players who would abuse that. I remember there was one game, I think it was like Chicago versus like Colorado or something like that. But there was literally one player who could not read his number because his jersey was tucked to the point where, like, you couldn't identify what number he was. And that was the reason why they were like, hey, you know, we need to be able to identify your number.
But, you know, still, I noticed that with Tkachuk last year. I think a few times I had trouble reading his number, and he had the full back tuck going. And yeah. I kind of wonder if they're just kind of getting lenient on that rule now.
Oh, they're 100% getting lenient on it because it's not that big of a deal. But that's why it was brought in, was because you were making it extremely hard to read a player's number. And like, if you're an announcer, that's, you can't see the name. You have to look at the number.
Right. But you can identify a Brady Tkachuk from anywhere just by his stride. So
100%. That's for sure.
Yeah. It doesn't really worry with him.
But, you know, I'm very surprised. I would be surprised to see a decrease, or I think there's going to be an increase, but I don't think it's going to be something, like, it's not going to be a dramatic increase. I think we're going to see, you know, in a, like, Vancouver plays Ottawa, like, there's a 4-game series between the two. We're probably going to see a couple, like, maybe 2 or 3 fights in that series. But I would be very surprised to see, like, these 1-game series that we have with Toronto near the end of the season to really have much fighting. I think it's going to be those, like, 2-3-game series that have the fighting in them. And I'm excited for it because I love a good old fight.
I think standings will probably dictate kind of where the Senators are at the end of the season to see if they're going to fight for, you know, every bit of position or play spoiler. You know, so we'll see some jockeying of positions for sure throughout the season. And I'm sure we'll see an increased amount of fighting, but maybe not dramatically. But guaranteed Watson's going to throw down.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, if we're going to talk about the Watson over-under, you know, I think we have the over-under at what, 7.5?
Yeah. No, that's just the fight, right?
Right?
Just 7 because there wouldn't be a half point for the fighting.
True. I'm going to take the under.
I'm going over for Watson. I think he's going to throw down an awful lot. He's known to do that in the past. The other interesting thing that if you want to look at the stat yourself, it's on hockeyfights.com. They have Watson as only victorious in one of those fights. So it's one out of 7 fights.
It's because it's a voter thing, and I hate that.
Yeah, I've seen that. So it's a popularity contest sometimes.
Basically, which fight did you like better, basically? The reason why I think we're going to see Watson fight less is because he's not going to be – he's going to challenge.
But he won't have any opponent. Right.
Like,
I don't think he's going to give people a choice. I think he's going to go – approach people, drop the mitts, and start throwing down.
To be fair, I think that could happen too. I just think, you know, you look at Ottawa's roster and you compare it to the other teams. There's only 3 teams that I think would actively fight a guy like Watson, and that's Montreal, Edmonton, and Calgary.
Yeah,
I just don't see Vancouver being willing to put anyone in that situation, or Winnipeg or Toronto. So.
And Ottawa has other players that can fight too. Like, Gudbranson's a really tough guy. I've seen Drake Batherson fight before.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, mostly, like, I've seen Colin White has thrown the gloves down.
Yeah, Brady Tkachuk, obviously.
Tkachuk, Dadanoff has thrown the gloves. Like, we have, realistically, outside of Tammy Stützle, all our forwards could fight.
I would not be surprised to see Tim Stützle throw the gloves off and have his first okay. inning. That kid does not look afraid of anything.
Joe, him, I would pay good money to see a Leon Draisaitl versus Timmy Stützle fight.
Oh man, Draisaitl's big. I'd be afraid of
German
the outcome.
Yo, but German on German fight, hilarious. The two superstars of the country going against each other.
No, I want to see a Quentin Byfield and Tim Stützle fight the following season.
Oh, Stutzel's going to win easily.
I don't know. Byfield is huge. He's 6'4". He's massive.
That means nothing. I want to see Quinton Byfield go in a corner against Eric Goodbranson and see if he comes out alive. Like, I want to see. I would take Tom Wilson over, you know, Quinton Byfield or, you know, Ryan Reeves over. I don't care how tall you are. If we're going to go height, Logan Brown should beat almost anyone in a fight. That's not how it goes.
But yeah, that's true. That's true.
Like, Logan Brown, I think people realize, like, Logan Brown's actually taller than Byfield. He's 6'6".
Yeah, he's 6'6".
He's 6'8" on skates. Like, holy, yeah. Like.
He's a giant.
The hell? We should have just brought back Chera and been like, help him learn how to skate with that height. The only reason we bring Chera, teach him how to skate with that height. Because imagine trying to skate. That's like being 6'8" on skates. That is terrifying.
No, I have a hard enough time at 6 feet, so I'm not going to skate on stilts.
I'm 6'5", 6'6" on skates.
Oh, jeez.
And I look down, and I'm like, God damn, I'm tall.
That's a long way down.
I look down, and I'm like, damn. Like, and you don't realize, but imagine like being 6'8" on skates and having to, like, that's crazy.
I don't know how they see the puck. I mean, that's a long way down.
Yeah. I wonder why Byfield uses a shorter stick.
Yeah, that part drives me crazy. I mean, he just sacrifices all that reach that he would have and really doesn't get to take advantage of his size. But I've already went off about that.
Oh, you know what I realized? We're 2 days away from seeing Timmy Stützle in an Ottawa uniform.
That's going to be amazing. I mean, everyone's going to be tweeting that day about Tim Stützle, and Stepan will join the same day as well. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see them be line mates. Actually, that makes perfect sense. They probably will most likely go with Colin White in front of it on the top line with Brady Tkachuk and Dadanov because they'll want to insulate Stützle with veteran presence. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Stepan and probably Connor Brown on his wing.
Probably not. And I mean, hell, there's even I wouldn't be surprised if DJ Smith said, screw it, Stützle, Stefan, Dadanov.
Oh, just taking Dadanov off the top line and giving Stützle a finisher.
Let's be fair. We don't actually have a top line. We don't have like a 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to have who's playing the best hockey right now.
Yeah.
Those are the minutes you're going to get. And like,
yeah,
I don't think we should look at, oh, you know, he's on the top line in the line forms as like a written in stone that you're going to have the most minutes.
No, you look at the minutes at the end of the night.
Yeah. Like, so I would not be surprised to like, obviously I think Dadanov and Tkachuk will start the season on the same line, but you know, if you're talking about veteran presence, Dadanov or Connor Brown is probably your best bet.
Yeah, for sure. For a winger. I would love to see Stützle get time with Dadanov because I think pairing your best playmaking option with your best finishing option would be really nice. And then, you know, we know what Brady Tkachuk can kind of do on his own away from anybody. So, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing to see him with Connor Brown or Drake Batherson maybe. And give him a shot on Brady's opposite side and then having Colin White in the middle.
Yeah, and it's going to be real interesting. I want to see what happens with Logan Brown and Josh Norris. I would not be surprised if we see cuts by Sunday. Yeah. Obviously, we're recording this 3 days in advance because, you know, life happens and we're busy. So this will be be on Monday's episode. And any kind of update that happens Saturday, Sunday, we will discuss on Thursday's episode. which will be the season opening primer. I am super excited. Sorry.
The night before. Yeah, we got to do something. We will definitely do something special for that one. We've got to do something, you know, whether we get the Leafs guys on or we'll figure something out. We've got tricks up our sleeves, so we will definitely have something special for that episode.
Oh, yeah. But, and again, guys, if you're not tired of us by now, we will be going live at 10 p.m. on Saturday night. We are doing a fantasy draft for the network. We are host, like, we're running it. So we will be hosting here on YouTube and on Twitter live for you guys. We'll have the draft board. Both Derek and I are in the draft. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens with that. But we'll be interacting. We'll have the other guests on, the other hosts on throughout the night to talk about who they want to pick, what's going on with them, how they're feeling about the season. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for that tomorrow, Saturday night on the 9th, 10 p.m. Eastern time. If you're listening to this on the podcast, on Spotify, Apple Music, whatnot, on Monday, whatever, head on over to our YouTube page. You'll definitely be able to find that out. You'll check it out there. It'll be all fun and dandy. But that'll be all for this episode, guys. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember to hit that subscribe, like, comment button, share the video with your friends, family, loved ones. And remember, come check out to vote for us at the Faces Magazine Awards for Best Sports Podcast. Link will be in the description below for your YouTube people. All the links for the affiliate programs, the NHL Shop, Lids, Fanatics, and Hockey Canada will be linked below. Thank you all for tuning in. Follow us, Sens underscore Hour on Twitter and Instagram, and YouTube myself, Shane underscore Ryan 97, Derek at DLee075, and check out his articles, Senshot, New Era Sens, fantastic group over there for both. And stay safe. Have a good night. Go Sens, go. And we will catch you back here with a brand new episode on Thursday.
Take care.